Jeremiah 13, and I direct your attention to verse 23. Jeremiah 13, 23. The prophet Jeremiah, addressing the nation of Judah, questions, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." Does man possess the ability to change who he is before God? Is the human heart capable of simply exercising enough self-will to change his sinful habits whenever he pleases? Can those defy God unapologetically submit their hearts to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in their own strength at any given moment? These are the underlining questions that the prophet Jeremiah is asking the nation of Judah through these two rhetorical questions. Now, if you were to question most people in our day, even among those who live under the umbrella of religion, you will find that the popular opinion is that man does possess the ability to change his ways and control his own destiny. Most religious teachers today openly teach that those who wish to be accepted before God after death must be good and do good. They teach that pardon for past sins committed come by personal reformation and personal commitment to religious services and works. Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, and Buddhism are firmly united in declaring man's personal ability to rise above his failures and live a life of spiritual enlightenment and peace. We find this to be true among Mormonism, Catholicism, and Jehovah's Witnesses. The creeds of these supposed Christian circles proclaim that sinful men can be made right with God through baptism, prayers, confession, selfless deeds, and adherence to a particular church. The Bible, however, strongly affirms that man is completely unable to find God in his own strength. The Bible is a hammer that shatters the prevalent poetic belief that man is the master of his fate and the captain of his own soul. See man's utter inability through Jeremiah's two pictorial questions. He asks first, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin?" And all men know the obvious answer is a decisive no. The Ethiopian who is born with dark black skin cannot change the color of his skin at his own pleasure. He cannot snap his fingers and wish himself to be some other color. He cannot take a wash rag and seek to do enough scrubbing whereby his skin is changed. And then Jeremiah follows this question by turning from man to the animal kingdom and asks, "Can the leopard change his spots?" And all men know the obvious answer, again, is a decisive no. An animal that naturally possesses spots cannot rub or wash his spots away. No leopard can jump into a pond wishing himself to look without spots when he has spots. These things are impossibilities that Jeremiah is placing before the hearts of Judah. And just as the Chinese man born of Chinese parents cannot turn himself into an Indian man, the Guatemalan born man cannot turn himself into a Russian, so those who are accustomed to do evil cannot make himself do good. Just as a dog cannot fly like an eagle cannot swim like a dolphin cannot run like a cheetah cannot hop like a kangaroo, so those who are naturally the children of the devil cannot flip a switch and make themselves a child of God. The truth of man's inability is a truth that man hates and kicks against. If we were to look at the Pharisees in the New Testament, we will see that if one truth that they were confronted with by Christ, that they boiled over with, it is the truth that they could not work their way to heaven. The Pharisees tried with every fiber of their being to pray and to fast and to honor the Sabbath day and to keep the law of Moses. They were convinced that through the exercise of circumcision that they can be saved. Through their man-made traditions, they could be made right with God. And here comes Jesus calling out their personal inability to do anything to merit the mercy of God. And man squirms and hates and kicks against the inability to save oneself because it humbles. But this truth of man's inability is not only underlined here through Jeremiah's rhetorical questions, it is underlined immediately after the fall of Adam. You remember, God gave a command to Adam not to eat of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. Adam had freedom to eat of all the trees of the garden freely, but there was one particular tree that God said, "Do not eat thereof, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And Adam gave in to his own self-will. He partook of the tree and he did eat. And in the moment he ate, he died spiritually in his soul, being separated from God. And in that moment, he knew what it was to feel shame and guilt. And he hid from Almighty God. And hiding from God, he sewed himself fig leaves. And Adam and his wife were clothed in these garments of leaves. But God did not leave Adam and Eve clothed in these fig leaves. In so many words, God came to Adam and Eve in their guilt and said, "What you have done is insufficient. You are unable to cover your guilt before God. There is nothing you can do to appease the one that you've offended." And so Genesis chapter 3 verse 21 tells us that God made coats of skin and clothed them. God stripping Adam and Eve of their own self-righteous works, and God showing that His work and His work alone is sufficient. Bringing man down, showing man he is unable in his own strength to make himself right with God. And showing that only God can clothe guilt. Man's inability is also underlined in the Abrahamic covenant. God called Abraham from the Ur of Chaldees. God told Abraham that he would be a father of a great nation, the nation of Israel. And God promised Abraham that through his son, his only son, with Sarah, that promise would be continued. And God promised this son, Isaac, in his old age, when Abraham and Sarah were past child-rearing. And we see again a picture of man's inability. And Abraham, concerned with this promise and the promise coming to pass, and Sarah, knowing that she is too old to bear a child, they begin to devise a plan for Abraham to go to Sarah's handmaid, Hagar. Man trying to work his way to accomplish the will of God, and God saying, that's not sufficient. And God proving to Abraham that he alone has the power to bring about that which is impossible for men. And we know that Sarah did have a son, that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And so this promise, this prophecy of those who would be spiritual children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ also shows us man's inability. Abraham and Sarah could not do it. Physically, they could not produce Isaac, the promised son. Only God could do it. Man's inability to come to God is also underlined through the new covenant prophecies and promises established through Ezekiel. You remember Ezekiel 36. And Ezekiel prophesying, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." Here, Ezekiel is telling us something of the work of regeneration, the work of conversion, the work of salvation. And he is likening the work of salvation to a surgery that happens within a man's soul, within a man's heart. And this surgery can only be performed by the Almighty, by the great physician. Man cannot take a scalpel, cut his own heart open, and do his own heart surgery. If you've ever seen such, let me know, and I'll be glad to publish it for all to see. It's impossible. It cannot happen. And so it is in the spiritual realm, Ezekiel is saying. Man by nature has a heart of stone. He has a heart of sin. Man by nature is a rebel against God. Man by nature does not fear the high and holy one. Man by nature is as a sheep going astray, drinking down the pleasures of this world like water. Man by nature resists against the holy commandments of God. And God says man needs a surgery. Man needs a spiritual transformation. Man needs a change of his will, a change in his desires, and that's something that only God can do. Man is incapable of performing this surgery. Man's inability to come to God is also underlined through Christ's miracles. You see, the miracles recorded in the Gospels are pictures of salvation. They're pictures of the new birth. They're pictures of what it means to become a Christian. When Jesus went around healing, he did not heal merely to set a physical illustration for men to see. No, he healed so men would see a spiritual illustration of what the gospel is. A spiritual illustration of what it means to be born of God. And so Jesus went healing the blind, and the blind could not make themselves see. Jesus went healing the deaf, and the deaf could not make himself hear. Lepers were unable to make themselves clean. Those who were paralyzed were unable to make themselves walk. The dead could not give themselves life. But through the power of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ alone, that which man could not do was done through Jesus Christ. Do you see man's inability? Peter and John walked, Acts chapter 3, by a lame man on the way to the temple, and the lame man begged for alms. He could not walk. He could not get up. For 40 years, there were individuals who took him to the temple to beg. And Peter saying to this lame man, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the power of the Almighty, arise and walk." And straightway he arose, walking, leaping, and praising God. The supernatural Holy Spirit working in his life brought him to walk. Man's inability to come to God is also underlined through Christ's teachings. We have the greatest teaching among the rich young ruler. One came to God, came to Christ and said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And this rich young ruler kind of comes with his chest puffed out, with his shoulder raised and his chin up and says, "I think I can do what you would require me to do in order to enter into the gates of heaven. Just tell me and I'll do it. Just tell me and perhaps I've done it already." And Jesus says, "If you will be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Jesus, knowing the sin of this man, the idols of this man's heart, tells him to part ways with his idol, the god of money, and this man leaves sorrowful, for he had great possessions. But man's inability is found just after this account. And the disciples shake their heads and they begin to look at one another and they begin asking, well, Jesus, who then can be saved? If it's harder for the rich man to enter through the eye of a needle, if it's hard for this rich young ruler, this man with money and power to go to heaven, who then can be saved? And Jesus gives us the answer. Jesus is teaching us of man's inability. Jesus says that which is impossible with men is possible with God. Sometimes we misuse that verse thinking, well, if I can just grab a basketball, and if I have enough strength and I just psych myself up enough, I can dunk. Because that which is impossible with other men can be possible with me if I look to the Lord. No, the context of that is salvation. This rich young ruler could not part ways with his sin in himself, though he had some desires to know what was true. This young man was locked in a cage. He was locked in a prison cell of sin, and he could not free himself. And so Jesus says, in so many words, salvation is of God. We see Jesus teaching this truth also in the life of Nicodemus, John chapter 3. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, comes to Jesus by night and says, Jesus, how can I inherit eternal life? Jesus, tell me truth to follow so that I may know the way to heaven. And Jesus looks Nicodemus in the eye and says, you must be born again. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. That which is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit. And Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, one who is very religious in his external doings, one who knows a lot about the Scriptures. Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus that Nicodemus cannot do that which is sufficient to please God. Nicodemus needs to be birthed from above. Nicodemus needs to be brought to God by the Holy Spirit of God. Nicodemus can't do it, though he has been trying. But Nicodemus needs to cast himself fully upon Christ's power and mercy to be saved if he is to see the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus says in John chapter 6, no man can come to me unless the Father which hath sent me draw him. No man can come unless the Father which has sent me draw him. Later in the same chapter, Jesus says, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Again, proclaiming man's inability to go to God in his own power and strength. It's underlined in Jeremiah's rhetorical questions. It's underlined immediately after the fall of Adam. It's underlined in the Abrahamic covenant. Man's inability to come to God is underlined through the new covenant prophecies of Ezekiel. It's underlined through Christ's miracles. It's underlined through Christ's teachings. And it cannot be argued. So let us then consider two vital questions. Number one, why is man unable to come to God? And number two, how is man able to come to God? Well, the first is simply man is unable to come to God because man is naturally, spiritually dead. The next time you go to a funeral service with the corpse in the casket, I challenge you from the pew to say, corpse, arise and come. The next time you visit a cemetery and you see the tombstones, I challenge you to say in the loudest voice you can, corpse, arise and come forth. And see what happens. You will find that the corpse is unable to go to the one calling because the corpse has no life. It is lifeless. So the one without God has no life, no spiritual life. Oh, it has life. God gives to all men life. We have the ability to see and the ability to hear and the ability to talk and the ability to enjoy things. We have the ability to do these things. But spiritual life, speaking of spiritual life, all men naturally are born speaking lies. All men naturally are born into sin. David says, Psalm 51, "In sin did my mother conceive me." And we know this to be true, because no man and no woman has to teach their children how to sin against God. My father and mother never once sat me down on their lap and said, "Casey, here's how you lie. Here's how you steal. Here's how you work up a sinful attitude, throwing yourself on the ground, pouting like a little baby. Here's how you lust. Here's how you commit greed. Here's how you be prideful." Not one time have I seen a parent train their child on how to rebel, because children don't need that training. We are all born in sin. All of us bear the mark of Adam. We are sons and daughters of Adam. And being sons and daughters of Adam, we are sons of Satan. Jesus says, John chapter 8, that those who are in sin separated from God are of their father the devil, and the will of the Father they will do. And that the truth doesn't abide within unbelievers because they are not of Him who is truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Man by nature is not good. Man by nature is not holy. Man by nature is not just. And again, man kicks at this because man wants to think himself to be good. Man wants to hold on to his own personal righteousness. Man wants to puff up his chest. And man wants to be accepted before God. But the truth of the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And even those who are blinded by sin cannot know it, because the heart is deceitful. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none good, no, not one. There is no fear of God before the eyes of those who know not God. Man is unable to come to God because man is spiritually dead, spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, spiritually paralyzed, crippled by sin. As we looked at last week, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, because in and of ourselves we could not go to Christ. The law shows us our sin, our guilt, our despair. The law shows us that we are guilty before God. And the law shows us then that we need a Savior. It's our schoolmaster, our transport to lead us to the foot of the cross. Because at the foot of the cross, we see that Jesus has done that which man cannot do. Jesus has paid the price for sin. Jesus became sin for us, who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You see, if there's one message that the cross of Jesus Christ preaches to the world, it is man's inability and Christ's ability. When you look at the cross, remember, it teaches us that man is unable. And we know that man is unable because Christ had to come. If man was able to come to God, Christ could have stayed in the glories of heaven. If man was able to go to God, Christ suffered in vain. If man was able to work his way to a state of righteousness, then Christ is a liar and the Bible is full of compromise. But praise be to His name, the Bible is the word of truth, and Christ did not die in vain. How is man able to come to God? What must we do to be saved? There's tension, I know. I get it. I feel it. The preacher says man can do nothing. Well, then what hope is there? The preacher says man is spiritually dead. Well, what hope is there? There's hope in Jesus. And yes, even our faith is a gift from God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? The faith that has been given to us is the gift of God, whereby we praise the one who is worthy, Ephesians chapter 1, to the praise and the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. How would we know what to believe apart from the Spirit of God teaching us? How would we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life apart from Jesus manifesting this to our heart? How would we know that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except through the power of Christ? We could not. Man is only able to come to God by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Going back to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Jesus doesn't even start by saying, Nicodemus, you must believe. Oh, yes, believing is a part of salvation, but Jesus doesn't start there. Nicodemus, you must have a spiritual awakening. And when this spiritual awakening happens, you will believe and repent. You will trust in the only sufficient work of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Journey then from John chapter 3 to John chapter 11, we see Jesus before Lazarus. Lazarus is dead and has been dead, and he has been dead so much so that he stinks. Mary and Martha come to Jesus grieving over the loss of their brother, saying, Jesus, if you had been here, we would not have lost our brother. And Jesus says, weep not. Lazarus is not dead, but sleeps. And this is a miracle that will be done to the glory of God. And Jesus, the one who possesses all power in heaven and earth, Jesus, the Creator, who spoke all things into existence, Jesus, who said, let there be light, and there was light, says, Lazarus, come forth. And the stone is rolled away, and Lazarus, who was lifeless, comes forth as he had done before. Only through the power of Jesus Christ could that have been done. Lazarus did not awaken himself. He did not revive himself by his strength. He did not sit there dead in the tomb thinking, yes, I must come, yes, I must come, yes, I must come. And so it is with Christian. So it is with the Christian. He does not come to Christ saying, I must pray, I must pray, I must do, I must give, I must be baptized, and work himself up into a frenzy. When the Spirit of God works with the call of Jesus Christ and the call of repentance, the call of conversion, then man is regenerated. He becomes a new creature in Christ, whereby old things are passed away and all things become new. You can't fully explain this miracle, but you know it to be true, especially those of you who are in Christ. Those of you who are in Christ this morning, those of you who are true Christians, know your inability. You know that you were unable to come to Christ in your own strength. Many of you tried, and you tried for years. And we can tell you testimonies of church members who were Catholics and altar boys and church members, even in the Baptist church, serving and trying to work their way to acceptance before God, only to find themselves like a truck stuck in the mud, wheeling in frustration and troubled, thinking that it was through works of righteousness that they could do to make themselves good before God, until the Spirit convinced them that they were unable. And in that moment, when they understood that they were unable, they cast themselves on the free mercy and grace of God, and in casting their burden upon the Lord sustained them. That's the invitation of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 11. The invitation is, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. All you who think that you are able, come unto me because you are not able. All you who are trying to climb this ladder to heaven. All you who think that through the ladder of the law you can make yourself righteous. Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto the one who has power. Come unto the one who can do this heart surgery and take away your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. Give you a heart that loves God. Give you a heart of faith. Give you a heart of love and joy and peace, as well as all the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus accomplished what man cannot do at His cross. And my question to you this morning is, what have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Not what have you done in church. Not what have you done toward your neighbor. Not what good have you done in the workplace, in this world. What have you done with Jesus? Have you received Him? Have you looked to Him as your sin substitute? Are you relying fully on His ability to save? Or are you in one hand holding on to your good works and one hand holding on to Christ? You cannot be saved by such. You must cast yourself completely on the Lord's ability to save. The Bible says, come now, let us reason. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Jesus says, come, all who will come to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says, repent and believe. The Bible says, trust, turn. And when you do, you can know Christ's ability. You can know what it means to become a Christian. The Ethiopian cannot change his skin. The leopard cannot change his spots. And those who are accustomed to do evil and of themselves cannot walk on the pathway that leads to God. It is a supernatural work that God does within the heart of man. And I ask, has this supernatural work been done in your life? If not, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Turn to the Lord and find in Him the all-sufficient Savior.